Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeanette, and I am an addict. We're going to open this meeting with a moment of silence, please. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is new to me. I have no literature or anything to read, so we're just going to move right into the meeting, okay? On the back of the book?
Yeah.
So how many of them are due? The first and the... Okay, will somebody come up and read 12 Traditions?
Can I have a hug?
Oh, the 12 steps.
The 12 traditions of NA.
Okay.
We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, okay, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous. No, each group has but one primary purpose. No, each group should be autonomous. I got it right. Okay. Except in matters affecting other groups or any as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. An NA group I never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. I know that one. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers... I got that all messed up. I'm canceling. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. There we go. Yeah, outside issues. Hence the NA name might never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
We now have the 12 steps.
Hi, my name is Lewis. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hey,
12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Number one, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction and our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Three.
Number three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him.
Four,
we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves.
Five.
Number five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, we made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. Number ten, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11.
We
sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12.
Amen.
Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the addicts and practice these principles in all of our affairs.
We're going to have the Just for Today reading.
Just for
Well, we're going to read it now, right now.
Hi, my name's Lauren. I'm an addict. Hey, family. Footwork, April 19th. So many times addicts have sought the rewards of hard work without the labor. Basic text, page 33. When we first came to NA, some of us wanted everything right away. We wanted the serenity, the cars, the happy relationships, the friends, the closeness with our sponsor. All the things other people had gotten after months and years of working the steps and living life on life's terms. We learned the hard way that serenity comes only from working the steps. A new car comes from showing up on the job every day and trying to practice these spiritual principles in all our affairs, including our employment. Healthy relationships come as a result of lots of hard work and new willingness to communicate. Friendships with our sponsor come as a result of reaching out during the good times as well as the bad. In Narcotics Anonymous, we have found the path to a better way of life. To reach our destination, however, we must do the footwork. Just for today, I want a better life. I will make an inventory of what I want, find out how to get it, and talk with my sponsor about it and do the necessary footwork. Thanks.
Okay, I want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we're going to move right on in. We have the speaker from Washington, Anthony W.
Good morning. I'm an addict named Anthony. Everybody, I hope everybody can hear me this morning. This is just... I think this is just for the recording. I'm going to scream as loud as I can. We're out on the beach, you know. And I'm going to do the best I can, you know. I'm humbled to be asked to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, with this convention. And as I was telling an addict when I walked up on the beach, you know, I've been involved with this convention on the board level and on the regional level, and this is the first time that I've been down on the beach, you know, and it's just awesome for me, you know, and as I was standing here, I just started to reflect, and for a hot minute, I caught myself getting ready to cry, you know, and I still struggle with that. Y'all need to know that, you know, after almost 16 years of clean time, I still struggle with letting down the image and crying some days, you know, but it's gotten better, you know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, I am a part of the D.C. area of Narcotics Anonymous. To identify in my clean date is December 6, 1993. I was first introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in June of 1983, you know, and I always share that because... relapse is not a part of my story, you know. I didn't surrender. I went to one meeting, you know. I was sent by the court system. They told me that I needed to find an outpatient program, and that's exactly what I did. I found an outpatient program, took the blue slip in, set it down on the table, and went back to Martin Luther King Avenue and Howard Road in Southeast. And 10 years later, I got back to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, a bum off the street, you know. The sum total of my clothes were two trunks of clothes that belonged to other people, you know. And the blessing is that I can look today, you know, 15 years later, and I'm not living the way that I was living when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And that's the joy, you know. And one of the things is that I'm out here this morning with you all, you know, and don't have a clue where I'm going, you know. But the beauty is that I'm just grateful for just being alive today. You know, I'm just grateful for being a member of this fellowship. But most of all, just the fact that when I look back over my life, you know, I no longer talk about the glass being half full. The glass is full for me, you know, because when I look at where my life is today and where it came from, my life is grand and groovy. in spite of everything that's going on in my life, you know, with the state of the economy, you know, my bills, you know, living situations, relationships, all of that stuff. The one thing that I know is that I'm not using behind any of that, you know. So I know that the glass is full for me because, you know, what I know is that I've gotten some tools, I've gotten some principles, I've gotten some guidance, you know, and I've been able to get some friends since coming here, you know, and that's the one thing that I didn't have before I got here, you know. I'm grateful for the journey. I'm grateful for sponsorship. You know, my first sponsor, I was standing out here and thinking about my first, the guy that first sponsored me, my first 10 years in this fellowship passed away in 2003. And he's the guy that is responsible for me being the person. And that's not to say I don't love the guy that's my sponsor today. Yeah. But the person that I am today is because of the guy that sponsored me my first 10 years here, because when I came here, I came here broken, not wanting to be a part of, not wanting to fit in with you all, didn't want y'all to hug me, didn't want y'all to touch me, you know, I was afraid of y'all. And this guy took me in his arms and allowed me to express and feel all the emotions that I had pent up some 41 years. You know, my first shot of dope was at 14. I got to Narcotics Anonymous when I was 41 years old. You know, so you need to understand there's a lot in between. Now, I don't need to do a whole lot of talking about the drugs I use, where I use them at, you know, who I hung out with, or any of that stuff. Jails is a part of my story. You know, institutions, I miss those just by the skin of my teeth. You know, but the blessing is that I'm grateful that when I got here and they told me to give myself a chance, you know, I sat down and I took a breath and I was beginning to breathe and I was able to begin to just sigh, you know. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I don't have to do the things that I did prior to getting to Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I guess I just need to just share with you all my story, you know, and that's it. You know, I'm the oldest of four. I'm the sole survivor of my family. All of us use, you know, my three siblings have died as a direct result of this disease and other diseases. And when I got here, I used to wonder why me, you know, but I'm grateful today that I know that the Creator just picked me up. And I honestly believe that, at the end of my story, at the end, the Creator just said, let me go get this food. Yeah, because he's about to hurt himself, you know. Not that I wasn't already doing it, but I just honestly believe that he was like, let me go get him, you know. And I remember going into treatment. I am a product of treatment. I don't advocate treatment. It just happened for me. You know, I do believe that you can come into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, sit down, if you've hit a bottom, and if you have that desire to stop using, you can, because this program works. I just happened to be one of those that had to be taken off the street because I was a nuisance. You know, I was getting in the way at the end of my story. You know, people were not telling me, oh, Tony, come on by, you know, 6 o'clock and we're going to have a party. They were talking about, if y'all see him, don't let him in, you know, I'd hit, knock the door, shh, you know, see, you know, I remember they would tell me, Slimmy, you know, after I'd sat at the table all day, Slimmy, back away from the table, you know, so, you know, once I got here and you all told me that there were some things that I could do to live better, you know, I began to embrace you all. You know, my journey, like I said, started in a treatment facility that I was introduced to, that I went in as a resident. And because I got a good education, I can spell well, I can write the King's English, you know, I went in as a resident. Worked my way up to a floor monitor, worked my way up to being a staff member, and sitting on the board of directors for the treatment facility that I was in, shooting dope and smoking crack and sending other people to treatment and telling them they had a problem. Okay? You know. And, you know, there came a day in D.C. when the city government decided they wanted to test the shelter workers and the treatment facility workers. And I had to set up the day for the staff to get treated. Yeah, now I've been up all night now, y'all. You need to understand that, you know. But I didn't even know I was hitting the bottom because what I had told one of the other guys that I was working with was that I was tired. You know, I didn't care anymore. Yeah, I didn't care if the test came back clean. I didn't care if it came back dirty. I really didn't care. But now I didn't know that I was hitting the bottom. You know, ain't had a clue, you know. And that was in October of 1993, and I didn't get the treatment until December of 93, you know. So I understand about using against your will. I understand about continuing to use. But you know what I'm so grateful for is that I don't ever have to use again, you know. Even if I want to, I don't ever have to pick up, you know. Because today I've got some reference points. You know, I've got some tools that have helped me stay the course, you know. And the blessing, and that's not to say that I haven't thought about it, because on my journey, I still like shooting dope. Make no mistake about that one. I don't like the consequences. Yeah, I don't like the fallout, and I don't like where I end up. So what? Why not stay here? You know, what I heard was, if I stay here and give myself a chance, what I got to lose? You know, so that's what I do. You know. And I'm grateful, you know, that when I got here, you know, that y'all just told me to just don't use, go to a meeting, get a sponsor. That I couldn't get with. I was 41 years old. Why do I need a sponsor? You know, why do I need, you know, and I remember saying that in a meeting that the treatment facility took me to, and, you know, an old timer sitting next to me heard me, because I'm one of those people that, you know, if it's in my head, it comes out too fast. You know, over the course of my years, I've learned now how to stop and think before I speak, you know. But, you know, I said it too fast, and this old timer sitting next to me said, if you don't need nobody, then why are you sitting in here with us? You know, so that made me stop saying stuff out loud, you know. Yeah. And I said, I won't sit next to you again, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what I did was I went ahead because, you know, in the facility they said to me that I needed a sponsor. So that's what I did. I asked somebody to sponsor me, you know, but I wasn't really going to, you know, follow their guidance. I got it because y'all said do it. That's it. Yeah. And that person, walked with me for my first 3 years into this program as a temporary sponsor, because what I did, guys, and what y'all need to understand was that I didn't ask a man to sponsor me. What I did was I asked a female in treatment to sponsor me, you know, because I had issues with men. You know, I come out of a single parent household, never known my father. You know, my uncles were military guys, you know, never had a male role model in the house. So I struggle with that male bonding and that male connection. And if you come from where I come from, you know, where cutting through alleys and jumping out of cars become a way of life, you know, I had issues with men. And they weren't trust issues. They were all business propositions. Yeah. So what I did was I asked a female in treatment to be my sponsor. What she said to me was, I'll be your friend and I'll walk you through this process. You know, and I'm grateful for that young lady who did that. But what she did was she kept, every time we went to a meeting, she'd turn around and take me up to a guy and introduce me to a guy and say, you need to talk to him, you know. And what I'm so grateful for when I got here was what I heard from you all was, y'all told me to listen to people when they share. You know, stop looking at how good they look. You know, whatever keeps you coming, whatever taps you into finding a sponsor, that's what worked for you. But what worked for me was the fact that I was told, you know, don't look at the fact that they got gold and jewelry on. Don't look at the fact that they got nice, slick, creased pants on. Listen to how they sound. Are they living the way they're talking? You know, and this guy would come into meetings and he would share. And every time he would share, it felt like he was talking to me, you know. So finally what I did was I slid up to him one day and I said, Butch, can I talk to you for a few minutes? You know, and he said, yeah, yeah. And that, Butch, can I talk to you for a minute, took me almost 2 years to ask him, can you sponsor me? But over the course of those 2 years, what this dude would do was every time he saw me, he'd come to the meeting, pick me up, take me out to meetings, take me out to get something to eat, take me out and share his story with me, and ask me how I was feeling. And finally, when I finally said, I need for you to sponsor me, he said, I've been sponsoring you all the time. Yeah, yeah. And that guy took me on a journey, because that guy took me into the steps, you know, and introduced me to me through my fourth step, you know. And some of the stuff that I knew that came out in my fourth step, I already knew. You know, I already knew some why I did some of the things that I did, you know, because of, and our literature talks about it, because my own inability to accept personal responsibility, because I couldn't fit in, I felt that I didn't fit in. I always wanted to be from the other side of the tracks. I was born in the wrong family, you know, wasn't light enough, you know, wasn't smart. These are the things that I told myself in my head. Not that my parents were telling me that, not that my mother was telling me that. This is the stuff that I began to tell myself in my head as a little kid, that I didn't fit in, you know. And because I didn't know how to process this, when the guy said to me, on 6th and I Street in Northeast in Washington, try this. It was on. Because what it did is it made me feel better. I ain't never changed seats on the Titanic. What I did, I was just changed. Once one drug stopped working, I had to try something else to make me feel better, to mask the pain. So that's all I did. You know, I don't have a drug of choice. I just want more. That's all. Yeah. I need to feel better in the moment. And you need to understand, with 15 years clean, I haven't shot dope, I haven't smoked crack, but I'll use. You need to understand. I understand what the drugs are, but I also understand what the disease of addiction is today. When I don't feel better about me, when I still go to that place of self-hate, self-destruction, and self-despair, using still is an option for me. People, places, things, food. I stand in front of my refrigerator and open it up and look to see what I can do. You know, see, you know, yeah. But what I'm grateful for is the process through the steps, because this year I've had to do a 9th step just on my health, you know, and the fact that of making the amends to me for my health and my security, you know. And that's one of the things that I'm grateful for, that I've had to change that whole, my whole nutrition system. You know, I've gotten here, gotten older, gotten a few more ailments, a few more illnesses, you know. And the kicker is, it's okay. It is okay. You know, I'm a long time HIV survivor. I found out in 1990 that I was positive. You know, and the kicker is, y'all, is that I didn't say that I was going to continue to use. Yeah, my whole thing was that if I'm going to die, I'm going to die from something, you know. So why not continue to use, you know. But the blessing is that I'm living through it all. You know, I've come here, since being here, I've come up with diabetes, high blood, hypertension. You know, my knees ache in the morning. Yeah. But what I do is I get up and I just thank God that I can get up in the morning, you know, that I'm above ground, and I ask him to just help me put one foot in front of the other, and I keep moving. And what I do is I say, okay, God, it's me and you today. Yeah. And I keep moving, you know, and that's the blessing of this program. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I didn't have when I first got here. You know, I'm so grateful that I got here and y'all introduced me to the Creator, you know, that I have today. You know, I'm not one about telling you what kind of God you should have, because what you need to understand is that I'm an addict who came in here from out of a Pentecostal background, sang on the choir, taught Sunday school, ushered on the usher board, and shot dope. See. So when I got here and y'all started talking about God, I had big issues. Yeah. So I'm so grateful for the second step in coming to believe. Because who I came to believe in is y'all. Yeah. I stayed here and began to watch y'all recover, because when I got here, I didn't believe Narcotics Anonymous was going to work for me. First of all, I didn't want it to work for me, you know, but I'm so happy that I just stayed long enough for the miracle to take place. You know, when I got here, I needed you all to tell me that I was getting better. Today, I don't need y'all to tell me I'm getting better. I know I'm getting better. I can look at my life and tell y'all I'm getting better, you know. Yeah, the way I feel tells me that I'm getting better, you know. And that's the beauty of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. As I stay here, you know, I thank God for the process of the steps. I thank God for the willingness to be of service. I thank God for just the privilege of coming here and people, you know, becoming a part of my life and my taking a risk to just let people know who I am, you know, because if you really get to know me, I'm a fearful person. Yeah. I hide out and I protect myself, you know, but the kicker is that I'm so grateful for, like I said, the first guy that sponsored me, Butch. Well, what he used to tell me was that when you do work on you and you go into the meetings and you begin to share you, and don't worry about other people sitting there. Don't worry about other people, because when you do what you need to do for yourself in Narcotics and not people who practice the principles know what you're doing, and they'll tap into your spirit. Yeah. And that has been my evidence of the Creator. That's been my evidence of this program working through y'all people, you know. Like I tell the guys that I've been blessed to sponsor, that anytime I struggle with anything in this fellowship, one thing I know is that if I make it to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I can trust y'all, because it gets better and I'm safe. You know, I've learned how to pass every attempt to pass everything that goes on in my head by somebody. Yeah. There are some days when I still think that I'm the best decision maker. Yeah. But what I realize is that when I make the decision based on Anthony, Tony always shows up. See? Yeah. And I'm grateful that I understand that distinction today through the journey of self-acceptance. Yeah, because there is a difference between Anthony and Tony. Yeah, see, so, you know, what I know is that when I get in the way, Tony's here. When I'm struggling, Tony's around. Yeah, because Anthony already has proof that when I step out of the picture and just trust the process, it works out, you know. And that's the blessing of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. It's a beautiful day, you know. I'm just living better than I've ever lived in my lifetime, you know. If it don't ever get any better for me, yeah. I'm enjoying where I am today. I'm enjoying how I'm living, you know, because of this program, you know. I'm just grateful. I can't say enough about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, life is life. You know, it's just a good day for me. You know, I'm not one that rambles and keeps going on and on and on and on. You know, yeah, I say what I got to say and I get out the way, you know, because what I've learned is that once I start struggling with words, I just might tell y'all a lie because I still want to sound good. So, with that, I'll keep coming back.